Can you hear me? There we go. What an incredible morning this is. It's a beautiful day. I do want to just say that I walked around, and if you're sitting over here and you can't hear me, somebody may have to tell them this because they can't hear me. You can actually, if you're from that tent over, you can hear a whole lot better than you can from that tent to the right. So y'all might want to pass that word over to those folks going, what? What's he saying? I can't hear him. But man, I just want to say, first of all, before we get started with our message today, how much I appreciate all of those who spent all day yesterday. We're here early this morning getting all of this set up for us to enjoy it. Would you just say thank you to all of them? Man, I deeply appreciate the teams that have served so faithfully to make all this happen. The other thing I want to say is I am so excited about next Saturday. It's going to be an incredibly busy day in the life of our church. You've already heard, Saturday morning, we're going to be gathering together for a great day of service, carrying food out into our community and caring for others in Jesus' name. Next Saturday afternoon, we've got the auction that supports so many ministries in the life of this church. So I just hope you'll go home and circle a big red circle around next Saturday and plan to come and be a part of what's going on. Well, today we're going to be talking about a wonderful story in the Gospel of John, beginning with the 21st chapter. And it's the story of an encounter that Jesus has with his disciples. The last encounter, really. Now, most of us have heard about the Last Supper, and we walked through that and talked about that over the last few weeks. But this morning, I want to talk to you about the last breakfast. Because the last breakfast has a lot to do with the Last Supper. And the scriptures tell us in the Gospel of John, the 21st chapter, the first verse, listen to these words. It says, afterwards, Jesus appeared to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael came from Cana into Galilee. The sons of Zebedee and two other disciples were all together. And Simon Peter said to him, I'm going fishing. Now, I know on a day like today, probably there's some people that said that this morning that aren't here. There may be some of you already said that you're going this afternoon. But we've all heard that before, right? Simon says, I'm going fishing. And the disciples say, we'll go with you. And so they went out, they got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. And early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. So he called out to them, do you have any fish? And they cried back, no. And so he said to them, throw your nets on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net because there were so many fish. Now, I started to call this deja vu all over again. Because if you remember in Matthew, it was at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he had the same encounter with Peter, right? And Peter, because of that, knows that it's Jesus. And he says, it's the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him. He jumped into the water. And the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed there was a fire burning with coals and fish on it, and some bread. And after they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Peter said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. And again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said again, take care of my sheep. And then for the third time, he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him a third time. He said, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. And so Jesus said again, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, Peter. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to Peter, "Follow me." Do you remember the Last Supper? Jesus said, "You're all going to betray me." And do you remember what Peter said? Petros? "No, Jesus, I'm your rock. I'll never leave you." Right? And Jesus said, "Simon, I tell you the truth, before the day breaks, you're going to betray me three times." And Jesus was right. It's precisely what happened. And now Peter is emotionally and spiritually devastated. His big words, he could not live up to. How could he face Jesus, the resurrected Christ, again? How could he be trusted as a leader after his colossal collapse? How could he ever speak again about a commitment to Christ and expect anyone to believe him? So, in his guilt, in this malaise of confusion, he does what he knows best. He says, "I'm going fishing." I'm not sure what it is about our personalities, but there's something about us that when we blow it or mess up, we always withdraw to isolation, to the thing that's comfortable, right? I mean, Adam hid in the garden. Do you remember Jonah, who ran from God on a ship? The prodigal son hides in a pig pen feeding himself. And now Peter is going fishing. He's going back to that place he knows. And Jesus, the scriptures say, decides to meet him there. Now the place was in the Sea of Galilee. It's a beautiful place. I've been there. And it actually is called in English Seven Springs, or Agba in the Greek, which it's a place where seven different warm springs run down out of the mountains into the Sea of Galilee. And if any of you ever go fishing, you know that when you're fishing, you always look for like a drain stream that has warm water running into it. It draws the fish there. The fishermen of Galilee knew this, and Jesus did too. So Jesus knows if Peter's fishing, where he's going to be. And so he's standing on the shore. And he calls out, "Do you have any fish?" And you know the story? Peter, knowing it's Jesus, jumps in the water. And the risen Christ meets him where he is to give him what he needs. I want you to hear this morning. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you bring to this day. Jesus meets us where we are, and he gives to us what we need. He gives to us what we need. Hear this morning. Jesus meets us where we are. It's called love. Jesus has prepared this fire on the shore, and there's this crackle of wood and the sting of smoke in the disciples' eyes, and suddenly it takes Peter back a few days to another night. The night in which he betrayed Jesus, and guilt begins to roll in like waves. He remembers back on the shore in the first place when Jesus said, "Follow me," and he remembers how he has failed, and the guilt won't let him go. And Jesus looks him square in the eye, right where he is, and he asks him the question, "Peter, do you love me?" You see, that's what love does. Love unwaveringly meets us where we are. It meets us where we are. I was talking to someone in our church whose wife has Alzheimer's. She's in a nursing home care facility, and every day he faithfully goes to see her and lovingly cares for her and sings to her. One day I was asking him about that, and I said, "Do you think she knows that you're there, who you are?" And he said to me these words. He says, "She may not know who I am, but I know who she is. I know who she is." Can I just tell you this morning that no matter where you are, Jesus knows who you are. And He loves you. And because of that love, He meets you right where you are. This unwavering, unshakable, unconditional love. See, Jesus knew who Simon was. He knew how he would be feeling. He knew that Peter the rock had crumbled and he felt like dirt, but he met him where he was. He wanted Peter to know. And just as the risen Christ came to Peter with those words of love and care, He comes to each one of us unwavering and unshakable and unconditional. And this morning He wants you to hear at this breakfast, "I love you where you are, right where you are." Here's the second truth of the story that I want you to hear this morning, is Jesus not only meets us where we are, He gives to us what we need. He gives to us what we need. That's called grace. Grace. It's interesting, in the conversation with Jesus, three times He asked Him, "Peter, do you love me?" Right? Because He knew that three times Peter had denied Him. And every time Jesus asked Peter, He wasn't trying to perturb him or push him, but He was giving him the opportunity to be reinstated, to be reaffirmed in that moment of his failure. Jesus reminds him. He calls him to what he was called to be. He doesn't give him what he deserved, but He gave him what he needed, right? Max Lucado tells a story about his little 4-year-old girl, Jenna. Jenna confessed that she had written on the wall with some crayons, and Max took Jenna up in his lap and he said, "Is that a good thing to do?" And she said, "No, sir." And tears began to flow. And Max said, "What does Daddy do when you write on the wall?" Jenna said, "He spanks me." To which Max said, "So what do you think I should do this time?" To which Jenna said sobbingly, "Love me." Jesus doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us what we need. And Jesus is now tending a charcoal fire with fish and bread. And He invites all of them to come and share in this meal. Now, it's important for us to understand this custom of eating a meal together in Jewish terms. You see, in the biblical times, the way you became reconciled with an enemy was that you shared a meal together. You see, Jesus and His closest friends have been separated. Not did Peter just forsake Jesus, but the Scriptures tell us all of them fled and forsook Jesus. And so now Jesus sets a meal for them to be reconciled. In the Bible, it's called a meal covenant. Do you remember when Abraham comes to Salem and he meets with Melchizedek and together they eat a meal? Do you remember the psalmist David in the 23rd Psalm when he says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." You remember that? And we all kind of think of it like this, that God likes me so much that when I get to heaven, he's going to like make this big meal and he's going to make all of my enemies sit down and watch me eat it, right? Is that the way? But that's not what he means. What he means is that God is going to reconcile us. He's going to bring peace to even our enemies so that we no longer in strife. You see, Jesus in this moment has prepared a meal of grace. He's ready not to give them what they deserve, which is a good "I told you so." But he's ready to give them forgiveness and love. You see, grace fits faulty people. And the meal we're going to eat today is not a meal we deserve. It's not a meal that any of us come to because we got all the boxes checked. It's a meal we take because we need it. We need it. And then last but not least, I want to suggest to you this morning is that not only does Jesus meet us where we are, not only does he give us what we need through love and grace, but the last thing I want to suggest out of this is he always takes us where we should go. And that's hope. You see, Jesus doesn't just leave the relationship restored, but then he says to Peter, "Peter, feed my sheep. Follow me." Remember when Jesus asked, "Do you love me more than these?" I've always wondered, what did that mean? More than these, what? And in my mind, as I think about that, with Peter sitting there, all of his old nets and all of his old boats and all the old fish are back again, right? The stuff Jesus said, "Leave and follow me," and Peter's turned back to. And I can imagine Jesus sort of standing there with all this around him, and he says, "Peter, which do you love more, all of this stuff or me?" I think Jesus would say to you and I today, "I love you. I long to give you my grace. But what do you love more? All your stuff, all your habits and hang-ups, all your physical wealth and material, or me?" Are we willing to give up the steady, the comfortable, the secure, to follow Jesus? The first and the last thing that Jesus says to Simon is, "Follow me." Can I just say to you today that with absolution comes direction? Jesus doesn't just love us where we are and forgive us there. He loves us too much to leave us there, so he calls us to follow. Remember the woman caught in adultery? He says, "Woman, your sins are forgiven. Do what? Go and sin no more." Do you remember the prodigal son? He gets up, and the scriptures say he comes to his senses, and he leaves the pig pen. Salvation, full salvation, is about transformation. And Jesus offers to us today the power to direct our lives and to bring hope and change so that we can follow. So Jesus says to him, "Follow me." This morning, as we close, we're going to have a late breakfast together. Call it brunch, if you will. And this morning, as we come and take this meal that was prepared by Jesus 2,000 years ago, I want you to come knowing that no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what you think you are, Jesus is here. And he longs to meet you where you are and remind you of his love. He longs to give you what you need in this moment. His grace. And he longs to lead you. He is here. I'm so thankful God didn't give us just a manual to live by, but he gave us Emmanuel to live with us. He is here in this moment, right here, today. And he invites you to come and have breakfast with him. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your presence here with us. And Lord, as we come to this table for breakfast, Lord, we pray that as we break the bread and drink the cup, that God, you would reveal yourself to us anew. Remind us of your never-failing love, of your abundant grace, of your never-wavering hope. And it's in your name we ask it, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're reminded that Jesus took the cup and he blessed it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Take it and drink it." And likewise, afterwards, he took the bread, and when he had broke it, he gave it to them, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take it and eat it and remember." And so we gather here today around this meal and this table to remember what Jesus did for us to prove his love and to claim for ourselves his grace and his presence in our lives. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here and upon these gifts of bread and cup. Lord, as we partake of your body and blood, would you redeem us, make us your body, redeemed by your blood, that our lives would look different because we have sat at your table. And it's in your name we ask it, Lord Jesus. Amen. This morning, we're going to eat this meal together, and we're going to spread the servers across the front, and you're just invited to come as you feel led and to partake at each one of the cups that you decide to come to, and you can just pace yourself as you see the lines sort of grow.